riding through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood. He called the greatest archers to a tavern on the green.
Elliot Evans! Colli mewn dwy rownd derfynol, met Caerdydd sy'n mynd i Ewrop.
Robin Hood, Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood.
So like Robin Hood, the archers were precision in their penalties and as a result go on to take the place in Europe, robbing the rich of the top six to take for the poor. Welcome to the JD Welsh Premier League podcast. We will only be talking about that wonderful game against Bala. Season review to come in another edition. Jonah, look, we've talked about Cardiff Met being the bridesmaid many a time in this affair, and now they're walking down the aisle and they've got what they want.
Yes, mate, they were obviously elated at the end. And like you said, Mark, they've had two heartaches in the past 2 years. So maybe they learned a little bit from the past 2 years where, you know, they clung on in there. They might have given a little bit more than they did in the last two finals. They had a little bit of lady luck that they didn't have in the last two finals. And like you said, they never got over the line in style with the penalties, more or less, you know, apart from... I think Fuller was the hero with the two penalty saves more than anything. But saying that, you know, Dylan Rees, Emlyn Lewis and Elliot Evans scored their penalties. So, yeah, mate, they got over the line to Europe. But, you know, like you said, third time of asking, maybe a little bit of lady luck. And Christian will tell you that. You know, his first two finals, it just never worked out for him. Got beat 1-0 twice. This time they go through on penalties. Going through on penalties into Europe, Mac, it's like winning 6-0 going into Europe. It doesn't make any difference. They're on the aeroplane, they're in the draw, they're on the way to the Europa League.
The fact it went to extra time and penalties as a playoff final for the first time in its history, Jonah, what does that say about the two teams that played? That they were equally weak or equally strong, or they cancelled each other out, or what?
On the day, there was no doubt there could have been a 3-all, a 4-all. You know, we've hit the woodwork four times. There's been chances either end. Adam Roscoe's hit the post after a couple of minutes. Baker hits the bar with a header. Then I think Stuart Jones crashes the bar with a header. Then the follow-up by Hazy. You know, that looked to be one of the, you know, the better chances. That was the big chance. And that was with 2 or 3 minutes to go. That was the one to win it for Bala. But yeah, there was good play in there. It was good, like, nice to see some good performances by, you know, defenders more or less. I thought the two central defensive partnerships were very good, Emlyn Lewis and Bradley Woolridge. And at the other end, Stuart Jones and Anthony Miley were excellent. A couple of fullbacks played well. It was it wasn't a Tottenham Hotspur and Ajax, or it wasn't a Liverpool and Barcelona. But there was a lot of tension involved. That's what people don't understand. I've heard people saying it was the worst penalty shootout that they've seen in years. Yeah, well, maybe the people who's telling everybody it's the worst penalty shootout they've seen in years haven't had to take a penalty for €230,000. You know, there's a lot of professional footballers haven't had to do that, by the way. So it's easy to knock people. And I think at the last count, and I said this last year in that after watching a Welsh Academies final, check me out whether I'm right or wrong, I said at the last count, I think between them, Messi and Ronaldo have missed 25 penalties plus. So, hey, don't make you a bad footballer overnight, does it?
No, I mean, it's interesting you raise about the complaints or the sort of people saying that it was a dull game and that there wasn't any quality, not just in the penalty taking, but in the 90 minutes and extra time that went before that. But then you're saying, well, actually, it's not so much about the quality, it's the fact that there were opportunities and people defended well against opportunities. So the two sides, in your view, cancelled each other out, probably to an extreme realm?
Most probably. Look, most probably they tried it. I mean, there were chances, there were early goals. So we thought we were going to have a bumper, but we didn't. But who's to say your number four and your number five shouldn't play well? You know, if that was you know, Liverpool and Man City, and it was a European Champions, if Tottenham and Liverpool now play the European Champions League final, it goes 1-1, not many chances, goes to the extra time. In extra time, Liverpool or Tottenham wins in penalties. Do you think their fans will be talking about a boring game?
Well, no, absolutely not. But you've mentioned him already, and we've mentioned him a few times this season about how he might have made a difference to what's gone on with Cardiff Met. Will Fuller was in goals, stopping the penalties for them. Here he is.
120 minutes penalties, doing it the hard way, two away games, you know, a semi-final and a final away from King Coyd, but it's done, we're there, we're in Europe.
And to be fair to Keegan Jones and yourself, the keepers did well during penalties.
I know, I kept turning around and seeing him save them, I'm thinking, oh, we need something a bit here, and just, you know, fortunately managed to go the right way for a few, you know, loads of research with the sports performance analysis boys, and you know, we prepped a water bottle with takers and directions and everything, and thankfully it all paid off, you know.
So what does this mean after two losses and two consecutive finals?
It means we're in Europe. If you'd have told us that 7-8 years ago when we turned up at university, we were playing on a grass pitch miles away from the athletic centre in Div 3, I think a lot of us would have laughed, but Swanee took us over there after training on Thursday, sat us down and said, boys, this is where you were, you know, you've come from this, and no matter how hard it gets on Saturday or Sunday, you know, it'll never be as hard as dragging the dugouts, putting the corner flags out, turning the goals round, locking it all up again at the end of the game and getting battered 4-5-0 in Div 3. So you know, we've come a long way, but we just said in the circle there, it never stops. The journey will never stop for this club and for the players, you know. We go on to better things, and the next thing for us is obviously Europe, so really pleased.
Well, let's have a chat about Bala, and actually we did say on the podcast last week when we previewed this, we fancied it as a sort of battle of the goalkeepers, and you know, Keegan Jones, you've talked up, I was very impressed with him in that final, and I think Bala have got an interesting conundrum next season. They've got two very good keepers. Do they keep both, or people looked at Keegan and thought, oh, I wonder if we can have him next season?
No, well, I tell you what, they are two good goalkeepers. You've got Ash, who's been a class act in this league for 10 seasons, and then you've got Keegan Jones, who's made a good, great start at his career at Ballon. I'm sure, I think he has every chance of being kept on.
And what about Ballon's penalty taking? I mean, Fuller stopped some of them, but there was also initial concern about them going in.
Yeah, but look, Mac, like I said, right, on the day, right, who can tell? I go back to Messi and Ronaldo, right? I was doing my commentary on the red button, and Venable stands up, and I said, just a man you need in this league. The boy most probably is, he'd be in the all-time top three maybe, and that's a debate to other listeners to the podcast, but he wouldn't be far off the all-time top three or maybe three or five players ever to have played in the league. And he stands up to take the penalty, and you're simply going to have your house on him, ain't you? And what happens? You know, it goes over the bar. But I spoke to him afterwards. He said he was so confident to put the ball in the back of the net. That's why he gave it a bit of thing. They practiced, by the way, Mac. Ballard had practiced really, really. They practiced the last couple of weeks. I talked to him. After I talked to Henry, I talked to Venice, you know, I talked to Colin. They've practiced. The Met practice. It's not Mickey Mouse stuff, mate. You know, these teams do practice. The one thing I'll say was a little bit different, and thinking myself as a player taking one, Keegan Jones, he got eye contact quick with the taker and sort of set up, you've got to beat me, sort of put off in the old Grobbelaar fashion. I think Fuller was more, you know, he was a bit more deadly, Fuller. He waited over on the edge of the 18. Every time the player put the ball down, if you look back through it again, he made the player wait until he was ready. I know which one I'd rather take one against. I think I could put up with the eyes quick, and I'll take you on quick. But when they make you wait that 30 seconds, and there's, you know, there was a lot of crowd behind the goal. I know that there was 650 or 680 at the game. So obviously there was 250 behind the goals. And any game penalties, Mac, I keep telling people, yes, you can practice penalties, but it's like being a singer, right? You're the greatest singer in the world in the bath. You get out of that bath and go in a nightclub and sing in front of 1,000 people. It's a different game. And that's exactly the same when you're practicing penalties. I could practice. I can might score five out the back against, you know, the best goalkeeper in the world, Neuer of Germany, most probably. You put me in front of him, in front of, you know, 10,000 people, I might not be able to make the walk up.
I'm more interested in your analogy of singing. Sounds like you've got experience there, Jonah, of playing in front of a big crowd.
Yes, yes, once or twice, Mark. One, in fact, me.
Where was that? The Grangetown Con Club, was it?
Yeah, and I got shot out of there.
Anyway, let's have some more reaction from the Met. Chris Baker has got something to say.
I'm lost for words, to be honest. You know, the last two have probably been, you know, one of the hardest moments in football, and to come through that today, you know, I guess the penalties, and you think, you know, here we go again. But it's a tremendous group, tremendous character, unbelievable.
And you've said it, you know, you lost the last two finals. You showed great character coming through the adversity today to actually qualify for the Europa League at last.
This is what you start pre-season for. So first of July, you know, all the hard work, the effort these boys put in is unbelievable. The commitment, the endeavour, and, you know, to get this, you know, a European adventure for this club, you know, university team set of boys, it's phenomenal. Absolutely unbelievable.
June the 11th, the big draw. Yeah. You must be looking forward to that.
I can't wait. Can't wait. We'll go anywhere. We can't wait. We're just going to enjoy the experience now. You know, we'll have a little break. We'll enjoy tonight, and then it's back to work, sort of 2 weeks' time, and then we go again, Europe.
Let's look towards the future, Jonah, because, you know, you can't change the past. Let's start with Bala. Obviously, a feeling that they were pretty close to getting into this playoff. We've analysed the sort of first half of the season, or the middle part of the season, where it probably wasn't going very well for them. Where do they need to add to next season to make sure that they're in Europe automatically, or again through the playoffs?
Yeah, of course. They struggled at number nine after Christmas. At Christmas, Stephen Thames, 17 goals, top goal scorer in the league. Absolutely putting a butt that, you know, he was the one most probably might have pushed him on a bit. But they did play since Christmas without their centre forward. Mikey Hayes has come in and done a good job. Chris Venables has pushed up and got goals as a striker. But, you know, it's hard to lose your top striker at the key time. Has their season been a brilliant season? It hasn't been a brilliant season, but they finished the season well, haven't they? You know, I think they beat Carnarvon. They had a couple of good results at the end of the season, and they found form the Met beat Carnarvon. They beat Newtown, but they found form at the right time. And they haven't even been defeated in the last game in the final, just on penalties. So I think there's plenty of, you know, decent signs at Bala. They've had Europe 4 years out of five. Look, to get it every year with the league improving and improving and improving, Hughie Griffiths will tell you, he got Europe last year. They were nailed on top six this year. You know, unfortunately, that's taken its toll. They've been playing 4 years, Ballard is a part-time club, and haven't really had a break. So financially, it's a big, you know, it's a big disappointment, of course, a massive disappointment for a player's welfare and player rest. Maybe it could do him a favour.
Yeah, well, we've had that discussion before about whether long spells in Europe knock you, or long seasons as a result of spells in Europe knock you. I'm sure we're going to have that one in the next few weeks. But what I will say about Bala, Jonah, is that crowd that you mentioned of 630-odd, I'm really, really impressed with. I suspect a few of them were Met, and I know the Met brought up a few, and all students like a jolly, don't they? So I'm sure they were on the bus for that one. But a lot of them were local fans, and I really, really hope that those that came down for playoff Sunday on that day, you know, for Sunday 5:15, that's not too shabby a crowd. And I hope that those people who came and perhaps don't go to Mice Ticket as frequently as they could will reevaluate now and have a think, actually, this is not a bad place to come on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday night or whatever it may be. You know, this is a great place to come to football, and it's on my doorstep.
Yeah, Mark, definitely. You know, it's not a big town, Bala, but if they could start getting 500 regulars, you know, I think they're nearly up in the 300 mark, and it is a great place. It's a lovely place to go. There's always a great welcome at Bala, at Mice Tegid. It really is always a good welcome. You know, they had a hell of a pitch a few years ago. You could have been put off by that, but that was when every team had bad pitches in the winters, most probably. But they got the 3G surface, and now they got youth teams coming through. And yeah, it's a great place. Great place to go and watch a game of football, Moise Tegid.
Well, what about the future of Cardiff Met then? Well, we know one thing's for certain. A European adventure awaits. I'm going to read out a list of some of their potential foes in Europe in a second and talk to Jonah about that. But first, let's hear from the man who got them there, Christian Edwards.
Your smile says it all, but share your feelings with us.
Yeah, tingling at the moment, a little bit numb, not sure what to think. It's just the tense moments. The game was heading for penalties. You could see that this is the way it was panning out, and no one wanted to score. We were at the post, they were at the post, we were at the crossbar, they were at the crossbar, goal off the line, goal off the line. It's just been just unbelievable to lose at Bangor three seasons ago and then to get back there last year and then to lose again. It's just that we never wanted to press rewind, we always wanted to press fast forward, and we fast forwarded a year. We've done it from seventh spot, the hardest way, typical of us doing the hard way, but I'm just delighted for my coaching staff, for the players, but I'm also delighted for my wife and three kids, because they give up so much and sacrifice so much for me to be able to do this every weekend. I'm very grateful for that. But regarding the football side of things, boys are just first class. Just love working with them, they're brilliant, and we'll continue to do that. And as they've said, they're on a European tour. All I'd ask, you know, is to put yourself in my shoe, taking 30 students away to Europe is going to be one hell of a journey.
Bethaniel, MG Cup winners, now the playoff winners, and you're going to Europe. Hasn't been a bad season, Christian.
Pretty good season, considering at the start people were saying that we haven't had the best of seasons, but in context, the seven key players out initially, they've been brilliant. And as you can hear, it's going to be a long journey home tonight.
And you know, you lost the last two finals with a huge degree of grace. Ballatown today have shown the same kind of empathy.
Yeah, football for me, you have the talents, etc., but you have to be humble. I've said it to us, our boys, we're probably not the most talented in the league, but we're the most blessed because we have each other. And in that sense of having each other, we're very humble. There's no egos, there's no big time Charlies in our team. Everybody works and they understand their role, responsibility, and that is for me life. You have to be humble. There's no point in being something that you're not, and I think that epitomises the Cardiff Met football.
Well, you can be humble, but you can also enjoy your party. Go and join your players. Cheers. Congratulations.
Cheers. Thank you.
So here we go then, the Met are on a European tour, and before we talk about who they might face and what challenges they've got, let's talk about something very interesting. Here's a geeky stat for you, Jonah. There is only one university in the world that has a women's club and a men's club competing in FIFA Premier Club competitions across the world, and that university is
Cardiff Met University. Absolutely, Mark. I was. I wish I was on with Clarkson there for the £1 million because I've got that one. But they've done fantastic, haven't they? I think you want to look just quickly again. We spoke about other clubs in the league like Ballytown have come through. Edwards, you know, you mustn't go under the radar. He took this university over 10 years ago, Division Three, Welsh League. So you've gone up. In the 4 or 5 years they've coming up, they've gone into two playoffs. They won the Nathaniel Carr's Cup. Let's don't forget, it's a double for them this year. No matter what happens, it always will be remembered as a Europa League playoff cup win and a Nathaniel Carr's win. So you've got to take your hat off to them. And hard work done all the way. Exactly the same as every other team who've got into Europe. Your TNS, your Connors Quay, your Ballytown and your Cardiff Met. They haven't been placed into Europe, right? The four teams have had to work their socks off with good managers, good players, and all I hope now is they go and represent us in fine fashion like plenty of clubs have in the past.
And we'll talk about all of them as a collective in another podcast very soon and what they need to do as a collective. I just want to sort of, as I'm trying to type something in my computer while doing a podcast, multi-skilled me, I just want to bring up a list here of teams we know are going to be in it already. They will be in the preliminary round. And at the moment, these are the people that they could face. Cliftonville, Europa from Gibraltar, the two Icelandic sides, Runavik and Klaskovic, St. Julia from Romania, our friends in San Marino, we always seem to get drawn against, Tre Flori, and whoever gets in from there, Ballymena United, and still a few to be decided. Now, under normal circumstances, certainly some of those names I'm seeing there, Cardiff Metropolitan University shouldn't be afraid of. I could certainly see them doing over Tre Flori, having seen them in action before. I could see them doing, well, Europa are an interesting one. maybe Ballymena they could probably do as well, as obvious ones they could do. So what do the Met need to do in the next 3 or 4 weeks before they think about playing those games in what will be mid-July?
Yes, really tough. Absolutely, Mark, you're right. It is really tough. I was lucky enough to do it a couple of times. You've got to give them a couple of weeks off at least. You've got to have a couple of weeks and say, if I see you anywhere near the football, you'll be having a hell of a telling off. They've got to get some sort of holiday. I know it's going to only be 2 or 3 weeks, but then they've got to come back in all guns blazing. It's a tough ask, but you ask any young player, any young man, under the age of 35 or anything like that, what all these boys are, and a lot of them under the age of 25, what would you rather be doing in 5 or 6 weeks' time? Would you, every football club in Great Britain, in Wales, almost every club, by the way, will be training within a month or 5 weeks. So would you prefer to train and then play 6 or 7 friendlies against a good side maybe, and your local village side to help them out and spread yourself around because you're Welsh Premier? Or would you like to have your first couple of games, 1-2 games, maybe 3 or 4 games for another €250,000? Mate, people make claims sometimes about the downside of Europe. I'll tell you the downside of Europe, right? I was at Camargue and we went in and we were lucky enough to get through Longford, right? And then we played Copenhagen. Right, I don't mind repeating it again because it's great, right? Our club then had 2 sets of money and we had players who will remember them times for all the rest of their life. The first season, you're not in Europe then. I don't think I can remember playing the Dog and Duck or somebody else in mid-July. So for me, no question, mate. Prepare yourself and enjoy it.
Well, you're right. We will find out very soon how they do. But in the meantime, yes, rest your legs, Cardiff Met, because you've got to go on a European tour somewhere. And me and Jonah have got plenty to talk about in the next few weeks on various podcasts, including the nominations for Player of the Season and Manager of the Season, and previewing those European tours for all of our clubs. And, of course, most importantly for me this season, if there's anything on the to-do list that needs to be supported and done this season, is we need to get all of our sides doing very well in Europe this season and not just rely on TNS, who did phenomenally well last season. That's it from us. Speak to you soon. Say goodbye, Jonah.
Cheers, Mac. All the best and well done to all the European entrants.